Some years ago, when I was a pastor in another church, one Sunday morning, a young couple came out for prayer at the end of the service. It turned out they had been married for, I think it was, 10 years, and they desperately wanted a child, yet none came. And so I prayed for them. I believe the power of the Lord was present that day to heal. And so in due course, that couple came back to see me and said, "We're pregnant." I think they meant she was pregnant because he showed no sign of being pregnant himself. But you know what? God was so gracious of them, not just giving them the child they asked for, but for giving them two children, two little boys. And I had great joy in August of 1998 of doing a dedication for those two little boys. Our reading today tells the story of a couple in a similar situation, desperately wanted to have a baby and didn't over many years. Let's listen to this in the reading.
The birth of John the Baptist foretold. When Herod was king of Judea, there was a Jewish priest named Zechariah. He was a member of the priestly order of Abijah, and his wife Elizabeth was also from the priestly line of Aaron. Zechariah and Elizabeth were righteous in God's eyes, careful to obey all of the Lord's commandments and regulations. They had no children because Elizabeth was unable to conceive, and they were both very old. One day Zechariah was serving God in the temple, for his order was on duty that week. As was the custom of the priests, he was chosen by lot to enter the sanctuary of the Lord and burn incense. While the incense was being burnt, a great crowd stood outside praying. While Zechariah was in the sanctuary, an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing in the right of the incense altar. Zechariah was shaken and overwhelmed with fear when he saw him. But the angel said, "Don't be afraid, Zechariah. God has heard your prayer. Your wife Elizabeth will give you a son, and you are to name him John. You will have great joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the eyes of the Lord. He must never touch wine or other alcoholic drinks. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before his birth. And he will turn many Israelites to the Lord their God. He will be a man with the spirit and power of Elijah. He will prepare the people for the coming of the Lord. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and he will cause those who are rebellious to accept the wisdom of the godly." Zechariah said to the angel, "How can I be sure that this will happen? I am an old man, and my wife is also well along in years. And then the angel said, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the very presence of God. It is he who sent me to bring you this good news. But now, since you didn't believe what I said, you will be silent and unable to speak until the child is born, for my words will certainly be fulfilled at the proper time." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah to come out of the sanctuary, wondering why he was taking so long. When he finally came out, he couldn't speak to them. Then they realized from his gestures and his silence that he must have seen a vision in the sanctuary. When Zechariah's week of service in the temple was over, he returned home. Soon afterwards, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and went into seclusion for 5 months. "How kind the Lord is," she exclaimed. "He has taken away my disgrace of having no children."
Let me tell you about this couple. First of all, they were both of a priestly family. They were both, in other words, descendants of Aaron, Moses' older brother. And he was also the first high priest in Israel. And all of the priests that came from him, all of his descendants, male descendants, became the priests in Israel. And that meant, of course, the time came when there were a lot of priests. Even a couple of hundred years later, during the time of King David, there were so many priests that David had to make some special arrangements. So he called the priestly families together and they came up with this scheme. They divided the whole of the priestly family into 24 divisions, they were called. And each one of those divisions would serve twice on separate occasions during the year. Each time they came to serve, they would cast lots then to see who would do what. There were still plenty of priests, maybe even more than they actually needed. And so they'd cast lots to see who did what. But the job that they all wanted to do, and at most they could hope to do once in their life, was to be the priest who actually took the incense into the temple and offered it as a sacrifice to God. They all longed to do that, but none of them could expect to do it more than once. But on this occasion, in this story, on this occasion it happens that Zechariah was the one who was given that role to do. It was a great privilege for him, a once-in-a-lifetime thing, as I've said. So there's the first thing about them. But the second thing about this couple is they were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. They were a godly couple with a heart for God, and they wanted to please him in everything they did. I think I know plenty of people like that, and I'm sure you do too. If they lived today, we'd probably describe them as people who are learning to live and love like Jesus. Or maybe we'd describe them as fully committed followers of Jesus Christ. But, like us, they weren't perfect. They had a heart for God. They loved him and followed him like so many of us do. But they still made mistakes at times. For Zechariah, if I can jump ahead a little bit in the story, it was when the angel came to him and his response was, "How can I be sure of this?" Now, I don't blame him for this response, and I'm sure many of you won't blame him either, but he was wrong to do it. God had sent a messenger. He knew this messenger had come from God himself. He knew it was a message from God, and yet he was still doubtful. So he certainly wasn't perfect. He wanted a sign, and he got a sign. The sign was that he would be unable to speak, and indeed, as Luke explains later in the chapter, unable to hear as well. So for the whole 9 months of Elizabeth's pregnancy, he was unable to speak or to hear what other people said. All communications had to be written down. He got his sign, but it was not a good one. The next thing we need to notice about them is that they suffered a great sadness. They were childless. They really wanted a child. All of their married life, they had desired to raise a family, but they had none. Now, one issue in that made it so bad for many people in that culture, if you had no children, you were in trouble when you got into your old age. We've got the age pension. They didn't. And so it was customary for your children to look after you when you became old. So there would be no such support for a couple without children. But worse than that, for many people in Israel, it was an indication that something had gone wrong with them in God's sight. This must be, people felt, an indication, hey, there's a problem here. There's something wrong in you. Why haven't you been able to have children? And so later, Elizabeth was able to say, "The Lord has taken away my disgrace." But I think even more than these two things would be the natural human desire that many, many parents share, that natural desire to actually have children. But as well as all of that, Zechariah said to the angel, "I am an old man, and my wife is well along in years." Now, how old would that be? One source that I read suggests that it probably means that they were over 60. 60? That's not old. And if you don't believe me, Just try asking Queen Elizabeth. She'll assure you, no, that isn't very old at all. But remember that they lived in a different culture. They didn't have the medical science that we have, and they died earlier. They died younger. And so they could still describe themselves as old or well advanced in years. So that was the heart's desire of this couple. This was the thing they had longed for so many years, more than anything else in the world. They longed to have a little child. And God fulfilled that longing. He filled that hole that they had. And he announced it to them in a stunning way. The day dawned, that very special day for Zechariah, when he would be the one to take the incense into the temple. He got himself ready in plenty of time. He went through the process, that whatever process it was that they had in those days. He went through all of that, and the moment came when he was able to carry this incense then into the temple. But as he stood before the altar, he suddenly saw this angel standing on the right-hand side of the altar and spoke to him. You can well understand how he felt. I would be shocked. I'm sure many of us would be, to suddenly see a person where there was no person a moment ago. But the angel said to him, first of all, told him his name. And it's very rare, actually, for an angel to tell their name to the person that they're speaking to. But Gabriel announced his name as Gabriel, and he did it twice in this chapter, once for him and once, as we'll read next week, for Mary, Gabriel. And he said to Zechariah, "Don't be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John. He will be a joy and a delight to you." And he went on. But if that had been all that he said, Zechariah and Elizabeth would have been over the moon with joy. Can't you just picture that night as Zechariah goes home? Zechariah and Elizabeth dancing with joy around the kitchen table. We're going to have a baby. We're going to have a baby. We're having a baby. There would be such joy in them. But there was something more in this. As the other John, who was a disciple of Jesus, the apostle, said on one occasion, "We have all received one blessing after another." God didn't just answer their basic request. He gave them much more than they asked for. As somebody else said, God's blessings come pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And so it was here, because the angel had more to say. The angel then went on, "And many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. Many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." What a wonderful announcement that was. There were a number of things in there that were really, really important. He would be filled with the Holy Spirit from birth. How remarkable. Now, we know, of course, that from the time of Pentecost on, God freely gives the Holy Spirit to everybody who's a follower of Jesus, to every one of his people, every one of God's people is given the Holy Spirit. But this is before Pentecost. And in those days, the Holy Spirit was only given to special people for special ministry, special purposes. And yet, this baby to be born would be filled with the Holy Spirit from birth. The The angel also said he would prepare Israel for the coming of the Messiah. Next step in the revelation of God's plan would be the Messiah would come. And he would cause many people to return to the Lord. People's hearts had grown cold. They'd drifted away from God. They weren't concerned about him. But John would actually bring them back to the Lord. Come back to me would be his message, speaking for God. Come back to God. And many of them did. And in doing that, it was very reminiscent of Elijah. He ministered in the power and the spirit of Elijah from all those years before that. And the third thing I notice here that he was said, he would be told to abstain from alcohol as a sign of his separation to God. Sometimes people took a voluntary vow to do that, and it indicated they had been set apart by God for a specific task. Now that baby would grow to be a very incredible person. Jesus, years later, said of him, "I tell you the truth, among those born of women, there has not been anyone greater than John the Baptist." Now that is an amazing accolade to come from Jesus. It says how great John the Baptist was. And all Zechariah and Elizabeth longed for was a baby. Boy or girl, didn't matter. He didn't have to be smart. He didn't have to become famous. They just wanted a baby. But God gave them so much more. What does this say to you about God? It says to me that God loves to fulfill the desires of our hearts. Do you know what John means? John actually means God is gracious. What a great name for the baby born under these circumstances. Parents longing, and God met that longing. God fulfilled it. God is gracious. Yes, God loves to answer those deepest longings. As King David said about 1,000 years before this, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." Just sit with this promise for a moment. Let it sink into the deepest corners of your being. And then ask yourself, what is the desire of my heart? Maybe this desire is something that you've prayed about for a long time. And I just say to you, don't give up. We have to admit that sometimes, for reasons we really don't understand, God says, wait, as he did for Zechariah and Elizabeth. Sometimes he even says no. We don't know why. Sometimes that deep yearning isn't fulfilled. But the challenge to us is to keep on praying until God answers, or until God says, stop asking. Like he did for Paul, when he said to Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you." What a wonderful story of God meeting the need of an elderly couple. But this wasn't the end of the story. 6 months after John was born, another baby was to be born, as we will hear next week. And as important as John the Baptist was in God's plan, he in time would say of Jesus, "After me comes the one more powerful than I, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie." John wasn't the main act. He was just the supporting act. This one, the second baby to come, wouldn't fulfill the longing of just one elderly couple, but fulfill the deepest desires, the deepest yearnings of the whole world. He would give, for example, satisfaction and fulfillment in life. He said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. And I don't know about you, but I can say that that's what I have found in life. Even though I've had ups and downs and wanderings away and back again and so forth and so on, I've had failings. But I would say basically across that whole period of my life, deep down, has been a deep down satisfaction and fulfillment in following Jesus. That's what he does. That's the need that he promises to fulfill. He would bring the lost home. He came to seek and save that which was lost. I'm sure we all remember the recent disappearance of little Chloe Smith over in WA. Remember the massive effort that went into the search? Did she wander off? Was she abducted? Remember the day she was finally found, when even big men cried? Remember the relief and the joy that we all felt? And Chloe is a picture of us humans. Some of us have wandered away. Some have been abducted by life. Jesus came to find us, to bring us home, home to God, where we belong, to great joy in heaven. This one to come would also bring acceptance to those who are rejected. One of the sad things we see in life are the number of people who feel rejected, who feel not wanted. They don't belong anywhere. They feel they have got no acceptance. Maybe it started with abuse in childhood, being bullied at school. Maybe it started with a spouse leaving them and they don't understand why. Maybe friends have let them down, but now they feel rejected, unwanted, don't belong. But Jesus said, whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. I will never, never, never drive away. He would bring forgiveness to the unclean. On the night before Jesus was finally arrested and then crucified on the same day, he celebrated the Passover with his disciples. And he took the cup at one stage and he said, this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. He brings forgiveness to the unclean. But I think probably most of all, he would bring people into a living relationship with God himself, with God as their Father, part of the family of God. I have a friend who, whose wife was actually adopted at birth by a lovely Christian family. So she grew up to know the Lord and she really loved her adoptive parents. But the time came when both of those parents died and she just longed to actually know what her roots were. Who does she belong to? Where does she belong? And so she began a search and she actually found her birth mother. And so she went to meet that birth mother. And not only was the birth mother there, but so was her brother and two sisters that she didn't know anything about. Now, the story turned out to be that her parents got pregnant before they were married. And so, in the custom of the day, she was given up for adoption. But the couple did marry. And so, my friend's wife was meeting not just her half-siblings, but her full siblings. And I don't think I can adequately explain how she felt when she went home that day. Here was her long-lost family who welcomed her in as one of them. And I belong here. She could even see family resemblance to her kids in the people that she saw that day. She belonged. And that's what Jesus does. He brings us back home to our roots, to where we belong, to being with God. This one, who'd come after John, had the name of Jesus, another name given by the angel, because he will save his people from their sins. As we approach Christmas this year, let's remember, it's not about the trees, it's not about presents, not about food or family, even though we will take delight in those things. They're wonderful. It's good to do them. But it's not basically about that. It's about the one who came to bring the deepest desires of the human heart to be fulfilled. Let's bring ourselves to him and let him fill our lives completely.